We'd like to say we appreciate again the privilege and opportunity to be here. We're glad to have you here today. Is our homecoming. It's about like most other things. They're not what they used to be. But we still have them. You pray for us just a minute. They just sang the song, "There's a Record Book." A lot of people probably afraid of that record book. I'm glad there is. We're going to try our best to do that. We feel the Lord's laid on our hearts. I feel, quite frankly, if you wouldn't hear the 10 o'clock service, you missed a great blessing.
Amen.
Great blessing. Great message.
Yeah.
I appreciate Brother Landon. Quite frankly, I feel about like Stephen did last week.
Bless the Lord.
He got up behind Lamar and he said, "Lamar preached my message." Didn't have nothing. It's about the way I feel this morning. Really is. You pray for us. We'll do the best we can with what we've got. I'm glad the Lord knows the hearts. I'm not going to preach on this, but I'm going to give it to you. Feel like giving it this morning, I'm going to give it to you. The center of God's will. The center verse in the Bible is Psalms 118:8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man.
Amen.
Shortest chapters, Psalms 117. The longest chapter, Psalms 119. Of course, center of the Bible. Chapters before, 594. Chapters after, 594. So you'll find in the center of the Bible, you'll find God's perfect will. St. Luke, 15th chapter. Very familiar scripture this morning that we're going to read. I don't know altogether what we'll do with it. I've got a thought. When I was just starting out preaching, there'd be several times that we'd get together with other preachers and we'd go to revivals. And sometimes there'd be five or six of us in a vehicle. And I was fortunate to be among some of the older ones. I don't know why. I really don't, but I learned a lot. They, a lot went on among preachers that you just wouldn't imagine. But one of them had to preach normally that was in the vehicle we was in. The other preachers on the way where we was going, they said, "Brother, I'll give you a message. You ain't got nothing. But I'll give you a thought." Maybe on the way back home, we'd get to talking about what was preached. And it was all good. It really was. And Brother Waldens spoke up one day and he said, "Boys," he said, "I ain't got a thing." He said, "I need one." Well, right before we got there, his brother spoke up and said, "You need to preach on this." And Walden got up and preached on it that night. On the way back home, Walden told him, he said, "You didn't give me all that." It comes from the Lord, folks. If there's anything in it, anything worthwhile. About 40 years ago, there's a preacher come down where I was pastoring. And he run a little late. He didn't have an appointment. I talked to him probably a week or two before that and saw him at meeting somewhere. I told him, I said, "You need to come down and be with us." And he lived up in this area. You'd know him if I'd make mention, but he was a little late, and he told me after meeting, he said, "I was late." He said, I pulled up in Stoner Chapel yard. He said, "The Lord spoke to me and said, you're at the wrong church." Never will forget it. And he come and be with us that day, and we put him up to preach anyway. And he preached a message that never has left me. And I don't know this morning, I really don't, what we'll do, what we can do with it. I never have used the thought that he had. But Lord help me, I am this morning. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the Lord spoke to me.
Amen.
And he said, "You're going to preach on that thought."
Bless the Lord.
So here I am. I don't know what we're going to do. I really don't. I couldn't tell you everything that the man said that day. But I can tell you that that message never left me. This scripture is very familiar scripture, and you've heard it preached on many, many be the time. No doubt. So you pray.
Bless him, Lord.
Bless him, Lord.
If I had something else, I'd go a different way. If I could pull some of the things that Landon's already said this morning, I'd pull them.
Amen.
So I'm going to read you some scripture. Just trust the Lord for the message. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. It's better than good to be here. I'd run across a song several months back, and I really enjoyed that song. Susan come in one Sunday and since you'll learn a new song. Would you believe it was that song? They sung it today. About God's goodness. How good the Lord is.
Yeah.
The actual thought of this portion of scripture out of the 15th chapter called the Prodigal Son. There's really more focus on the father than there is the son. But the son had to get in a place. You'll have to get in that place. If you've ever been saved, you've gotten that place. So you pray. 15th chapter, we're going to start. I'm going to read the first two verses, and then we'll go to the 11th. It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. 11th verse. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now this elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said unto him, "Thy brother is come, thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." He said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Very familiar scripture in reading this morning, and I'll have to take my time. Quite frankly, there's a lot of things, I guess, that's come to her heart and her mind concerning this scripture, and you've heard it preached, as I've said, many, many, many be the time. We're going to try our best to do that and stick with that we feel the Lord's laid on our hearts. And I need your help. I need your prayers. There's not anything, brethren, any worse in this world than feeling alone, feeling destitute, without anything. There's nothing no worse. There's people that's living in this world that are absolutely alone, by themselves alone. Now the scripture says here that the younger of these two sons come to his father, and he said, "Father, give me of thy living." Now I want to point out two or three things before I get into the message, and Lord help us, my friend. There's a lot of people that has come to the place that this younger man came when he was in the land, and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and the Bible says that he fain would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. Come to this place, he said, and when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" He found himself, he come to himself, and he come to the place, my friend, that he needed help. That's the biggest thing that a lot of people, my friend, overlook. Now, I'm going to say this, and you might not agree with it, but I'm going to say it anyway. My friend, we have a church full of people that have come to this place. Come to this place. He said, "I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." How many times, brethren, has people come to the place in the pew that they said, "I'll know what I'll do. I will straighten up, and when I leave this church, I will do better." Brethren, this man
had got to a place that he is tired of the way he was living. He got empty, my friend. He got to the place he had nothing, had no friend, had nothing he could help himself with, and he knew that the Father had more than he did. Hallelujah. Come to a place that he said, I'll just go back home and I'll just be a servant. I don't have to be a son. I'll just be a servant this morning. You know, a lot of folks be better off if they'd become a servant. Number one, you're going to have to become tired of the way you're living. If you don't, you never will change. It'll never happen. There's a lot of people, my friend, as I've said, I'll guarantee you, there's people that heard the message preached this morning that said in their heart they're going to be a better person. But brethren, it takes more than just saying that I'm going to be better. I really don't care this morning, and the Lord don't either, my friend, what you do with what he sends you, but the fact of it is, he sends you the help. Why not use it today? If I, my friend, am thinking right, and if I, my friend, have come to a place that I say I know what I'll do, I'll go to the Father, I'll tell him I've sinned, brethren, and no longer worthy to be called a son. I believe the Father would hear me. Don't you? I really do. I believe the Father would hear me. There's things, my friend, about this scripture that people overlook a lot of times, but the real truth of it is, the real, honestly, truth of this, my friend, is that the Father was looking for the Son to come home. Preacher, when did he start looking? The day he left. The day he left. Tired. You'll have to become tired of where you're at. You'll have to become tired of the warfare that you're going through. This man, my friend, found himself in a place that he had filled his own belly, brethren, but no man give to him. He would have fain filled his belly with the husk. Needed something. Yes, he did. Needed something. There's a need, brethren, in the house of God for people to act on that of repentance today. You say, preacher, not so. You know, there's a lot of people that, well, I'm not going to say that. I'll back off. These people, my friend, that's found themselves in the same situation as this prodigal son. They found themselves in a destitute, lonely place. And they found themselves in a place that they could not get no help by themselves. Was it not when you come to the Lord that you know that you could not save yourself? You could not help yourself. It was going to take, my friend, the Spirit and the power of God to overcome in your life. It still does. It still does. These things, my friend, I thought this morning as Brother Landon was preaching. And if you didn't get it, my friend, he said, put on the mask, put on the oxygen. There's life. There's life in the church. If there's not life in the church, folks, then the church has ceased to be what she's supposed to be. The Bible says here that this young man come to this place. He said, I know what I'll do. He came to himself. I know what I'll do. I'll go back to the Father. And I'll just, in other words, I'll beg His forgiveness. Can I tell you something? The Bible says that the Father saw him afar off. Afar off. Had compassion, did he not? Ran to him. Why did the Father run to him? Because he was coming home. He was in a place, my friend, of repentance. Yes, sir. You say, preacher, he repented in that pen. No, he didn't. He came to himself. Brethren, I'll say it again. We've got a church full of folks that have come to themselves, but they've never put no actions behind it. It won't work. It won't work. You'll look like a church. You'll function like a church. You'll smell like a church. But brethren, when it comes to being a life-giving source, you have no life that you can help somebody else with. The Bible says he went to the Father. He just didn't say some words. He told his Father the very thing he rehearsed. He said, I'm not worthy to be your son. Just let me be a servant. Preacher, did the Father hear him? The Father had already forgiven him. Yes, sir. Already. Already. He said, go get him the best robe. Go kill the fatted calf. Yes, sir. Put a ring on his finger. Put shoes on his feet. Can you imagine the look that his son had when he come back home, folks? He was tired. He was homesick. And he was hungry this morning. You'll have to get there. I know this morning you say, preacher, that ain't popular preaching. It doesn't matter. If you ever make it between you and the Lord, you'll get to a place, my friend, that you need Him above everything else in your life. What she's saying this morning, surrender all. Surrender all. He gave his all, did he not? There's no reason today that people are to leave, my friend, unsaved. God's able to save to the utmost, and he will this morning. Yes, he will. These things, my friend, I'll be quite frank with you. Brethren, we take the prodigal son, we've heard it so much, and we don't think no more about it. But brethren, if you don't become tired, homesick, and hungry, brethren, you never will experience, my friend, the salvation of God. It takes it. It takes it. The Bible says, This father, my friend, he was going to make happy. He is going to make things glad. Yes, sir, he was happy. You think the Lord was happy when you got saved? Yes, he was. The scripture teaches us even that the angels in heaven, my friend, rejoice at what one sinner, brethren, they ought to be rejoicing today. Shouldn't they? He was what? A lot of people says this man had backslid. That ain't what the scripture says. He said he is lost. He is lost and is now found. Yes, sir. He is dead. Dead. But he is alive, thank God, again. Alive. Brethren, there's something inside of every one of us today that belongs to God, and it takes God, my friend, to give it life, my. Woo. Don't it? There's nothing. There's nothing in this world to take the place of salvation. Nothing. We have children. We have grandchildren. We have great-grandchildren. And it'd be my desire that they all find the Lord as their personal Savior. Yes, sir. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee, my friend, that your children and their children is going to do what you would like for them to do. Life, my friend. People come to the place, and I'm going to be honest with you. I was the same way. I might have been young, 15-year-old when I got saved. 15-year-old preacher, you just wasn't old enough. Well, I felt like I was. I felt like I had the world by the tail. Yes, sir. I felt like I knowed about anything. That's how I felt. I thought I was big enough to take care of my own. But listen, when the Lord started dealing with my heart, my friend, things changed. Changed in my life. Brethren, something happened that I never had experienced before. Let me tell you something. Of His kingdom and of His peace, there is no end. It is an everlasting kingdom. And I can't help, my friend. You can wait for yours to start after a while. I'll tell you, mine started the night I got saved, born again. Thank God, and it's still real today. I know He saved me. He ain't never left me. He ain't gonna leave me. Brethren, He's with you all the time if you'll just pay Him some attention. I don't ever read in the scripture where the prodigal son ever left home again. He come home. This is homecoming, ain't it? He come home. Best thing in this world, my friend, for someone is to come home. I can remember years ago, Brother Frank Owens got up and testified to the fact Willard was in the Army and off over yonder. And he said he'd been talking to him on the phone. He said, I just wanted to see him. I'm going to say this, and I didn't ever ask Willard. But I got a good feeling, my friend, that Willard wanted to see him. He wanted to come home.
told his dad, he said, no, said, we're fixing the ship out. Said, we're going to be gone 3 months. Something, two or three. Going to be gone a while. 2 days from that, 2 days from that, I believe is what Frank said. Said his phone rang. It was Willard over here, Dalton. Said, Daddy, come pick me up. Huh? Somebody done something. Huh? I just happen to believe that Frank Owens got a hold of the Lord on Willard's behalf. Now, you might think different this morning, but I'm going to tell you something. I can't help but to believe that the Father, my friend, was praying for his son to get in such a shape that he had come home. Hallelujah, home. Woo! It's my heart's desire and prayer for Israel that they might be saved. I've got that same prayer, my friend, for my loved ones today. Yes, sir. Don't tell me that father wasn't looking. He never would have seen him afar off had he not been looking. Searching. I've had people tell me, well, preacher, it ain't going to happen. I got news for you. God's got a way of getting your attention. I never have told this one right here. But he bothered me. He is dating Ansley. Come to Stoners. I wasn't in his league, was I? Tell the truth. I wasn't his preacher. I can tell you. I ain't everybody's preacher. Don't try to be. Quit trying to be a long time ago. You ain't going to please everybody. You ain't going to satisfy everybody. But I'm going to tell you something. There's enough of this word of God for me to preach just as long as God leaves me here. Do you know that? And we'll never get it preached out. Never. But he wouldn't. I love him. I think he knows that. I appreciate him. I think he knows that. I want you to know something. But brethren, when this man first come to Stoners down there, he bothered me. Number one, he bothered me because he wouldn't write. Number one. He'll tell you. I ain't talked to him about it, and I ain't never said this in front of him. There's some of you sitting here this morning that bothers me just as much as this man did. I got the same prayer for you that I had for him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I ain't going to give up on you. No, sir. I ain't going to give up on you. I got news for you. You might think, well, I'll just slide in, and I'll slide out, and I'll slide in, slide out. Brethren, one day you ain't going to slide. One day something going to get a hold of you. It doesn't matter. I'm as honest as I can be this morning. Folks, if I don't believe this, I don't believe anything. It takes the Spirit of God to overcome your heart. It takes the Spirit of God to overcome your life. It takes the Spirit of God to show you that you are wrong.
Amen.
That's what it takes.
I don't care how much you're told that you're wrong, going the wrong way, until that Spirit speaks to you, brethren, you'll never get saved today. It takes it. I don't care who's preaching. I don't care what they preach on. Brethren, if there's any results of any sort, of any kind, it'll come from that Spirit of God. I'm just one of them, my friend. I don't believe you can get it any other way, and there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, except at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's good. God's good. There's things, my friend, that people tend to hold on to. Preacher, I was raised in church. It doesn't matter. Well, it does. No, it don't. I know that it helps you once you get saved. All that you went through begins to come back. It comes bringing it up. But the truth of it is, when you get saved, my friend, you ain't no more saved than that man that ain't never been to church. And that man that ain't never was raised in church, but when he come to church, the Spirit of God got a hold of him. He didn't know what it was. He didn't know how it worked. No, sir, I can tell you a fact. I thought Carlton Rogers was a madman. I really did. But there's something went home with me, my friend, that Carlton Rogers didn't put there. Do you know that? And that went home with me, folks, I could not get rid of. It dealt with me. It had me. I didn't want it to have me, but it had me. And after that first time, Crafton, I didn't want to go back. I didn't want to go back. No, sir. That church didn't have nothing for me. I had everything going my way. Thought so, Herman. I really did. Thought so. I love to hear people's testimonies. I really do. I'll guarantee you there ain't a one of us sitting here got one just alike. Amen. There's something a little different here and there. I know they tell about this and that. And When I went, when I was tired of the condition I was in, when I got homesick, my friend, for something better than I had, hallelujah. And when I got hungry, I'll say this. There ain't many of us going to admit it. But brethren, we're living in a time when people don't come to the house of God hungry. They full of everything. Yes, sir. Filled to the gill. Yes, sir. Rather than you get hungry, I'll guarantee you that meal tastes better. Yeah. Yes, it will. But that Wednesday night, September 1970, my friend, they never had, I've told this before, but I'm going to tell it again, they didn't have preaching on Wednesday night. They had Wednesday night prayer meeting. Somebody's in charge, read a little scripture, and everybody testified. That's what they had. Never did have preaching.
I still don't know why Carlton Rogers preached that night, but he did. He preached this Wednesday night. I thought, man, it's out of order. It was different. Herman, when he got finished, he said, get a verse of a song. And brethren, when I was standing back there in that first verse, I guarantee you that something was shaking. I was all over. And I shook through the first verse. And I sat there and I said, they sang another verse, I'll go. What's the chances of that? That's exactly what I thought. What's the chances of that? They didn't even have an opportunity. Didn't even have an invitation on Wednesday night. This night they did. Imagine that. Imagine that. Out of all them people that was in that meeting that night, how in the world God knowed that I was the one? Truth of it is, folks, he knowed all the time. I just didn't figure it out. I didn't know what was going on. I'm serious. I knowed one thing, Leroy. If I died in my condition, I'd split hell wide open. That's what I knowed. That's how I felt in my heart. Carlton said a few more words, a few things. He looked at old Bob and he said, Bob sang one more verse. Folks, I can tell you something. I don't remember nothing after that. It was all over. All over. I remember asking him to save me. And I'm going to say he did. It's what I got up and told him that night. It's what I got up and told him. There's things, my friend, that you can fake. And there's things, my friend, that you can never, ever find something to fake it out with. It's real. Before I left the church that night, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. Before I left the church that night, my friend, I told the devil told me, said, ain't nobody going to school you here. Said, you don't have to tell nobody nothing. You done told church? I agreed with him. Yeah, first thing I done, I agreed with him. Got up next morning, rode to school, my friend down a couple of houses down, Eddie Owens. We got in that car. I had no intentions of telling Eddie that I got saved. None. Zero. He backed out of that driveway and got on the road there. About 300 or 400 or 500 yards down there is a little bridge. Son, before I got that bridge, I thought my heart's coming out. I said, Eddie, I got saved last night. The devil said, you've messed up. Exactly what he said. You've messed up. Listen, folks, whenever the Lord comes into your life, listen, it ain't a bad thing. It's just not a bad thing. These people a lot of times looks at different church members and they try to figure out whether they want to be a church member or not. I got news for you. It ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work. It don't work like that. It really don't. I stood up on the balcony on that Thursday morning after I got saved. That Wednesday, I was right in the midst of all them boys. We had our conversations. I walked up in that circle. I can tell you for a fact, my friend, when I got in that circle, the conversation was going just exactly like it did Wednesday. And you know what I felt? I felt like a knife had cut me from here to there.
Amen.
And I just easily backed out. Preacher, what happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. He changed me. He changed me. By the Spirit of God, He changed me. Yes, sir. And He can do it. Graduated high school, went to work for a carpet mill down there in Welco Carpets. They had a ball team. Want me to play ball? I said, I'll play ball. I will not play Wednesday night. Will not play Sunday. And I didn't. 17-year-old boy. Worked 12 hours a day, got off at 6 o'clock, went to Dyersville, turned around, changed clothes, went right back to Union Grove Baptist Church on time. 17-year-old. You hear me? You say, preacher, it won't work that way today. That's where you're wrong. We don't allow God to work like we used to. I'm gonna say this, and I ain't gonna get a whole lot of amens. I ain't gonna worry too much about it. You young folks, it ain't all your fault. There's a lot of us older heads, my friend, that's quit doing some things we used to do. Just what you preached this morning. We've helped all the others, and we're starving to death. I'm serious. We're starving to death. We think things have changed so much, and there ain't nothing we can do about it. But I'm going to tell you something. I just happen to believe God saved a little old 15-year-old boy and put him in the midst of some sinners. And brethren, He give him some peace like he had never had before. Don't tell me that God can't take one and make a change in this world. He can do it. He can do it. I appreciate the message this morning. I appreciate Brother Landon. I really do. Appreciate everything that he preached and what he said. I hope you've got something out of this message. I'm not. I can stand here all day long, my friend, and tell you a lot of things that I can't do like I used to do. But I have no excuse in this world of not obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. I have none. I can't give you one. If I'm not doing what the Lord have me to do, my friend, then it's on me. It's on me. May God help us. May God help us be the people that we need to be. If it takes, folks, if it takes us getting in the shape that the prodigal son got in before we'll ever come back to the Lord, then that's what it needs. That's what needs to happen. That man got in a place that he couldn't help himself. God's still able. He's able to help you. He's not just able to help you, He's able to keep you. I believe that. Get a verse of a song.